Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of Pit Panther Rants, another sports brands podcast, is brought to you by The Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. It's a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide that lifts all boats. Go check them out online on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @sportsdrink. You know, it's spelled like sports drink, but no vowels. Get rid of them. All we ask is to close the door behind you. We're trying to not let the funk out. Welcome into another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, brought to you by The Sports Drink. I'm not doing that whole live ad read over again. You know, I don't care if I stop, stutter, or what. It's kind of like Dan Marino, right? All right, I think I'm screwing this up.
To a game, a complete uniform, and a chance to meet me. Stay tuned. I have details on how to enter, and we'll be announcing a winner later tonight. Did not flub at all.
No, it wasn't a flub.
There was no fucking flub. It was not a flub.
You want to see that playback?
No, come on. Let's do it. Fuck it.
Okay. K3, 25-second version. Action.
Hi, I'm Dan Marino from the Miami Dolphins. Welcome to Visa NFL Quarterback Club Week on. I hope you've enjoyed your Thanksgiving Day. We have more NFL action on this Sunday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. But tonight, you'll get a chance to be my backup quarterback for a day. You'll get round trip, airfare, and tickets to a game, a complete uniform, and a chance to meet me. Stay tuned. I'll have details on how to enter, and we'll be announcing a winner later tonight.
Perfect.
Fuck it. Send it in. Nope. I don't want to see shit.
But yeah, that's basically how it was. And I actually recorded a podcast yesterday, but I just really didn't feel like uploading it. I wasn't crazy about it. I think I was half out of it, I think, if we're being quite honest. But let's recap what happened here over the weekend. Well, first off, Pitt defeated Rhode Island 45-30-24. Yeah, I'm reading all these bunch of scores. The game itself, I was kind of weirded out. Not really weirded out, but it just, I don't know. It just seemed like Pitt was just very, very lethargic. I mean, the whole game was. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder because, you know, I tend to feel that they should have wiped the floor with Rhode Island. And it just felt like they were, you know, I mean, Pitt wasn't really in danger of ever losing the game, and they weren't going to lose it. But it just, I don't know. They gave up big plays still, and it seemed like the defense just wanted to get out of there, unscarred or unhurt, which I understand. And I think I just felt this would have been a great opportunity for Keaton Slovis to get back in the rhythm with his receivers, and he somewhat did. I mean, a lot of short passes. Kaneda Mumfield had 5 catches, 42 yards. Bub Means had 6 catches, 38. So in some ways he kind of got on the same, some work in. I wanted him to throw downfield, and get used to that, but maybe more if, I guess maybe getting him in terms of pitching and catching, I guess. Maybe that kind of works, but I will say, though, I'm not really too concerned about the running backs. Because, even with Ronnie Hammond, it's been out. And I think the 2-deep was released with him on it. But, Izzy had a big game, 19 carries, 177 yards, 4 touchdowns. Vincent Davis, 7 carries, 51 yards, and a touchdown. And Vincent also added 3 catches for 34 yards. Cibla Femester, 4 carries, 13 yards. Even Daniel Carter got some work. So, I mean, running back's not really much of a concern. I mean, at one time it was. When Quadri Olson and Darren Hall graduated, that's when it became a concern because we didn't have anybody that could really step up. We had Todd Sibley. He's at Albany, and he's been tearing it up. Good for him. I'm not sure what happened to Mikhail Saludin. What's his name? Let's look him up real quick. Saludin Pitt. Yeah, he's playing for North Carolina A&T. What has he been up to? What has he been up to as of late? I'm not sure if he's been doing much of anything lately. Well, he's playing defensive back now. And he's played a game. That's about it. That's really about it. I mean, he's defensive back now, which is, you know, not much to write home about. Well, I mean, who knows? It could work out for him and his, let's take a look at his biography here with North Carolina A&T. Let's see, 2021 season, he played 10 games out of the start. He made 12 tackles. So he went from, running back to defensive back. And let's see, before coming to Pitt, he had more than 30 offers. He had offers from Clemson, Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma, USC, Virginia Tech, Wisconsin. So how did he end up? I don't know. He doesn't play anymore. But I remember when he left. That was a huge deal because supposedly there was some sort of culture issue with Pat Narduzzi's program and, you know, all kind of other stuff. Well, I mean, we had issues with the tight ends. We weren't throwing to the tight ends, and you know, Sean Watson's offense left a lot to be desired. On defense, Pitt. Let's see, Cervosi Dennis, 7 total tackles, 2 solo and half sack. Kalijah Cansey, he had 3 total tackles, but he had 1 half sack. Naki Johnson had a sack. Sean Fitzsimmons had a sack. So, I mean, Pitt pretty much, you know, overall it wasn't too bad. You know, they gave him some big plays. Kasim Hill of Rhode Island, 17 of 30, 223 yards, a touchdown. Marcus DeShields had, you know, 10 carries, 18 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, 1 on a long run. But overall, Pitt outgained Rhode Island 460-286. I mean, they killed Rhode Island on the ground. One thing about Pitt is they had 97 penalties. They had 97 yards on 9 penalties. So, but they dominated time possession and everything else. All in all, you know, I wasn't crazy about it, but I thought Pitt should have crushed them, but Pitt had a ton of injuries. And I guess they want to come out of that unscathed. And if you hear that noise in the background, it's probably my son watching something on Netflix. Because I look at the 2014 Pitt Panthers, and they played Delaware to open the season, and they defeated Delaware 62-0. And I remember I was all amped up for this game, and I was talking about how physical Pitt was. I mean, they were imposing their will. They just looked physical on both sides of the ball, and they were just kicking ass in this game. I was so excited. Then the next week, Pitt played Boston College. They won 30-20, and that was at Chestnut Hill. And then they beat Florida International 42-25. So Pitt started 3-0. Then they lost to Iowa 24-20. They lost to Akron 21-10. Then they lost to UVA 24-19. Before you knew it, Pitt was 3-3. I was so excited about that, you know, that 3-0 start destroying Delaware. Pitt loses the next three. They beat Virginia Tech 21-16, but then they lost four of their last six games, including that bowl game, because they lost the next three games they played after Virginia Tech. They lost to Georgia Tech 56-28. That was the infamous Pitt script game where Steve Pearson out of the blue just resurrected Pitt script. And we had there was a band playing, I believe. It wasn't Maroon 5. It was some other Eve 6, I believe, played. And the game itself was a disaster. I think Pitt was down 4 TDs to start the game, if I can possibly remember. I try not to remember that game because it was just a miserable game. Then we lost two heartbreakers, the Duke game over Carolina, because we couldn't play defense. Then we somehow beat Syracuse and Miami, which, you know, that's how bad Miami was, pretty much. I think Al Golden he was fired the next year. We were 6-6, and we played Houston. And for some reason, we could not recover an onside kick. Yeah, I think we screwed up on two onside kicks, I believe. Yeah, we basically pitted is what happened. That was the pitting. Well, yeah. But Paul Chris left. He left us a good offense, and of course, his departure spelled the end of Steve Pearson. Because 2015, you know, we hired, you know, but yeah, 2015 we hired Narduzzi, we got rid of Pearson. But it also spelled the end of the Jamie Dixon era of Pitt basketball, because once we hired Scott Barnes after 2015-2016 season, Jamie Dixon was gone. He popped on a plane to his alma mater, Texas Christian, and that was it. So while it signified the end of the Steve Pearson era, it also killed the Jamie Dixon era. Yeah, I need to put that in because, yeah, that did end. You know, and also, I mean, it wasn't so much that you had Nordenberg's retirement also, I mean, led to the Jamie Dixon era ending as well. I mean, once his two bosses left, I mean, he was out. That's just how it is sometimes. When you get new bosses, you don't want to work for them. It's a time to get out. And, of course, the TCU job just happened to be open. That's life. I mean, I don't think Jimmy has any issues with Pitt. I mean, he was at the game at the back of a brawl. But let's take a look at the rest of the weekend at the ACC. West Virginia beats Virginia Tech 33-10. And the Brett Pryor, he's going to have to really upgrade his... He's going to have to do some of VT, I mean, because... Yeah, or otherwise he's not going to last too long. But I think Frank Beamer stayed too long, and of course, Fuente came in, and he kept Bud Foster, and he probably should have got rid of him. But, I don't know. It's going to be another rebuild for Virginia Tech, it seems. Now, Friday night we had, you know, Virginia and Syracuse. Syracuse wins. Brennan Armstrong, watching him kind of reminds me of Tyler Palka when he went from Walt Harris to Matt Kavanaugh, that transition, because it really wasn't that good in 2005. And Palka got a little bit better towards the end of that season. But early on, there were some struggles with that offense. And, of course, we had the infamous Ohio loss where he threw, I think, two pick sixes. And I'm seeing it now with Brennan, and he's not getting the ball out fast enough. And he just seems like a total different player. Clemson defeated Wake Forest 51-45. Wake had control of this game, and you can't play around with Clemson. NC State beat UConn. Miami lost to Middle Tennessee 45-31. So MTSU, that's another team you don't want to schedule. It's amazing. Miami took money out of their healthcare system to pay Mario Cristobal to lose to Middle Tennessee State. Well, you know, I guess I guess they didn't do that. It would be, I guess, a lot worse. Kansas defeats Duke 35-27. Kansas is 4-0. Kansas hasn't done much since the Mark Mangino era. I mean, they did hire Turner Gill after, you know, because they had to fire Mangino for, you know, I forget for whatever reason. They fired him or parted ways with him, whatever, and they hired Turner Gill, and Turner just took Buffalo to a MAC title. So, I mean, it was a good hire. I mean, the guy did have Big 12 pedigree. It just didn't work out, and then they hired Charlie Weiss, and yeah, that was an odd hiring. I think if there's one hire they could probably take back is Charlie Weiss, because, yeah, that was pretty bad. Then the Les Miles thing, I mean, they went through a lot of coaches. Louisville defeated South Florida 41-3. North Carolina loses to Notre Dame 45-32. Eventually, North Carolina was going to have to play defense, and sadly enough, it just didn't happen against Notre Dame. It was going to come back to bite them. Yeah. UCF ended the Jeff Collins era, Georgia Tech 27-10. Now, we're talking, you know, Georgia Tech was with Paul Johnson at one point, and, you know, you have to transition from an option offense to, you know, more of a passing offense. There's going to be some issues. Jeff tried to find ways to fix it by bringing Jeff Sims, and who played FSU, I believe, and it just didn't work out. So he's 1-3, and that's it. Florida State defeats Boston College 44-14. There was a BC writer who talked about how great it's going to be to eliminate the divisions, because, you know, so we have to see, you know, the Atlantic pounding the coastal team every year. You know, I just like how a Boston College writer is pounding his chest about how superior the Atlantic Division is. Boston College would not win the Coastal Division either. And be careful what you wish for, because the Coastal teams might dominate the standings. As Paul Zeiss replies to my tweet, Paul Chris did a hell of a job cleaning up a total disaster left over from the circus caused by Dave Wonstead. In the 14 months or so that followed, he stabilized being a... Yeah, that's true. He did, because remember, we lost a whole bunch of players. Yep. We lost literally our recruiting, you know, whole recruiting class. And then when Todd Graham left, it got worse. Let's see, look at the rest. Speaking of Paul Chryst, over the weekend, Wisconsin got destroyed by Ohio State, 52-21. Bama beat Vanderbilt 55-3. Remember when people were hyping Vanderbilt up in the first week of the season? Yep. Michigan beat Maryland 34-27. I think I had Maryland covering that spread. It was a 16.5-point spread. I thought that was too generous. Maryland won. Well, no, they won the spread at least. They didn't win the game. Kansas State defeats Oklahoma 41-34. Oklahoma was 6th ranked. Now, Adrian Martinez was supposedly a problem at Nebraska, and he was one of the culprits as to why Nebraska sucked. He's doing pretty good since then. Because they brought Mark Whipple and got rid of Adrian Martinez, and everything was going to be fine then. Well, it's not fine, obviously. Of course, you know, Adrian Martinez and Pat Narduzzi were supposedly the bad guys out of this whole thing. USC defeated Oregon State 17-14. If there was ever a Heisman moment for Jordan Addison, it was probably that game-winning touchdown catch. Oregon State played, you know, contained them pretty well, but you got to score points, and they turned the ball over 4 times. So when you're playing a high-power offense like USC has, you can't make mistakes. Arkansas loses to Texas A&M 23-21. Tennessee beats Florida 38-33. Yeah, it would have been nice to win that game. But injuries. Penn State won their game 33-14. And scrolling down the rest of this list, Baylor beats Iowa State 31-24. And of course, Texas loses to Texas Tech 37-34. In overtime. Well, yeah, the Sark era. If he keeps losing, if he doesn't do something here, he may be, well, plenty of people could be looking for new jobs. I mean, well, his receivers coach changes jobs every year, so this shouldn't be a big deal for him if he happens to lose this job, you know, if the staff gets fired. But looking at the rest of the weekend, well, the Steelers lost. It's Cleveland 29-17, I'm sorry. I'm reading a score, and I'm like, 31-20, no. They lost 29-17. It seemed like the offense had some moments, but then second half, they couldn't do anything, and then the Steelers' defense could not get off the field. It used to be that Cleveland used to be afraid of Pittsburgh. They feared them. Now it's not the case. And, of course, somebody is saying Dixon's hitting it out of the park. Yeah, 6 years. He does have a losing record at TCU in the Big 12, but he just made a tournament last year, and he's got a whole group of – he's got his player – most of his players returning. Yeah, it used to be Cleveland feared Pittsburgh, but not so much anymore. I mean, they pretty much – without T.J. Watt, Steelers' defense is kind of pretty much – I guess it's like Clark Kent without his superpowers, you know, where he tried to – you know, where he was in that diner and he gets his ass beat by that trucker. That's pretty much what the Steelers defense is right now, for the most part. But speaking of the NFL, we have Rihanna performing at halftime at the Super Bowl. I found this kind of odd because Rihanna was boycotting the NFL because of what happened to Colin Kaepernick. So I guess you can say her boycott is officially over. There were some people. But I don't think Rihanna's hurting for money. She makes play. She has that clothing line where she makes, it's a $1 billion industry, I believe. I mean, she's making a ton of money doing that. And Colin Kaepernick hasn't played in he hasn't played since 2016, and you know, then 2016 season. So he's not going to get a job anytime soon. And I don't think anybody's really kneeling anymore. That was an odd time because there were people that were refusing to watch the NFL because, you know, Kaepernick couldn't find a job. There was another half that didn't want to watch because of the social justice stuff. The NFL basically is like nicotine. It's addictive. People are gonna keep watching no matter what. So if you stop watching it, all your friends are gonna keep watching it, and then you're gonna be you're gonna be out of the conversation. It's like so Mike, did you watch the how about the the Chargers this week? Well, you know, I don't watch the NFL anymore, guys. I just don't like the fact that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job, and I'm gonna stop watching. It's like, okay, Mike, you know, you do that. Or the other half that says, well, I'm tired of, guys, I don't really watch the football anymore because, I just don't like the whole social justice stuff they're doing and the end zone, the stuff they're doing with the end zones. And say, okay, basically you're going to leave yourself out of the conversation. So, I mean, even as you get older, peer pressure and all that crap, it's still there. It always will be. Well, I mean, NFL really isn't peer pressure. It just, you make yourself, well, I don't know if it's, you know, just, the, I don't know if you make yourself an outcast. I don't know where to go with that. But basically, you know, like, for instance, when I moved to Houston, I started watching the Houston teams because basically when I was in the office, people were talking to me about the Texans and the Rockets and whatnot. And I didn't know what to say about them. You know, and so I had to start watching the games to be up with the times because otherwise I wouldn't be that person who doesn't know what the hell, you know, doesn't know shit. But now that I'm out of Pittsburgh, I don't watch the Steelers as much like I used to, or the Penguins, so I can't really talk about them much. I watch a lot of Pitt, though, for some reason. I find time for Pitt, which is weird. But, yeah. And to close this out, Brett Favre, you know, there's a big conversation about Brett Favre. I guess you know, supposedly people are saying it's a shame that Brett Favre is not getting the coverage that Mike Vick got. And it's even crazy that Jemele Hill had to weigh on this. And let's be honest. Jemele says, been thinking about a lot of criticism that the media isn't talking about the Brett Favre. You can't say nobody is talking about it and then link articles and national news. But in the same breath, let's examine the criticisms. Several people compare coverage Favre's seen to Michael Vick and even the Sean Watson and Ime Udoka. Brett Favre is a retired Hall of Famer. Vick was an active player when he was accused of dogfighting a top QB. Udoka just took the Celtics to the NBA Finals. Both Vick and Udoka were more relevant than Favre because they were active when their issues happened, as was Deshaun Watson, another active player. Have Favre still been the QB of the Packers, Jets, or Vikings? Ooh, child. For example, Google Jen Sterger. And that's pretty much, you know, she nails us down. She's not going to go against ESPN's coverage of this. She's not going to join the conversation about ESPN not covering Brett Favre enough when they covered Michael Vick more, mainly because Jemele worked for ESPN, and that would make her, you know, I guess people call her hypocrite, I guess. But yeah, I mean, you know, Brett Favre, nobody really talks about him or checks for him anymore. But I find it hilarious that Brett Favre asked the person he was getting money from if this was going to make it to the media. I mean, I think when you text that, I think you're pretty much answering your own question. But anyways, guys, I'm done here. Helena Pitt, talk to you later.